everybody. Did you ever have that uncle kind of frighten you a little bit? He was a little weird, kind of like Eddie in Christmas Vacation. When he's at a family event, he starts going, "These three guys walked into a bar and everybody digs for carpet, just trying to run away." I happen to know a couple of those guys. Welcome to the Three Podcasters. Walk into a bar, and we're in a bar. And I'll tell you what, this is kind of cool. My name's Stu Turley, President and CEO of the Sandstone Group. And I mean, I got my two compadres here. We got David Blackman. David, come on around the corner. David is a Forbes contributing author. He is an animal about town, and I guarantee he knows his stuff. He's got an energy absurdity today. He has his own podcast called The Energy Question. It is going through the roof, dude. Congratulations.
It's about time.
Are you paying all your listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Bribes are not beyond me at all.
All right.
Now that's coming in too, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly. Oh,
yeah. Oh, by the way, we got new sponsors.
Yeah, new sponsor. U.S. Oil and Gas Association with my good friend.
I'm not
Tim
playing
Stewart.
With you there, dude.
I've had a 25-year association with the U.S. Oil and Gas, and
nice,
great group out of Washington D.C. They do wonderful work on behalf of the oil and gas industry, and thrilled to death to have him as a sponsor.
All right. RT. The RT. Not only is he the RT, he's RT the third. Anyway, RT is one of them big dogs over there at Pecos operating. And I mean, RT is also a podcast host of The Crude Truth. The Crude Truth is also going nuts. How do I know that? I look at the reports. Yeah. So, welcome, RT.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me, as always, on the show. And I can't believe we're actually out and about. I got, you know, both of y'all are out of y'all's bunkers.
Yeah,
and,
I'm on my third drink already.
I know. Now I see why y'all don't come out of y'all's bunkers very often. The security here is extra tight, and I thought it was for you guys, but it's for you guys to stay calm. I thought y'all had security, but no. It's so that y'all don't act up. So I couldn't believe that.
David's reputation precedes.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. We're walking around the streets of Fort Worth, and people just get out of his way.
Oh,
I was like, what the heck?
I had that on the way in. My hat for our podcast listeners said, trespassers will be shot. Now, I got this in Vegas a long time ago, and it says offered a shot in about almost nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had somebody look at me when I looked at him and smiled, and they went,
well, I'll tell you this.
It's coming around the corner for First Energy here, dude.
Well, I tell you, first of all, I got to say, we'll do a quick shout out not only to the city of Fort Worth for allowing you two to come into town, but also to the old Flying Saucer here downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Fort Worth. It's been here in Fort Worth for almost 30 years now. And so thank you to Josh, who's the general manager, for allowing us to come in here. And I know that there's several EMP companies and operators and people that are landmen and geologists that like to come here after work. So thank you to them for allowing us to be here this afternoon.
Sounds great.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Fantastic.
Well, you know, David, I'm a stalker of yours. I mean,
I got lots of those. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so much fun when you're on Twitter with the energy news. I mean, excuse me, the energy absurdity of the day. My root beer got me kind of wiped out there. Sorry, that was energy absurdity of the day. I mean, that is absolutely a hoot. Normally, I steal your stories from Forbes, though. I go kind of like, look, and then I put that on my news site. So,
good.
What is your energy absurdity going on right
now?
Oh,
well, today is about a column written by Paul Krugman, apparently a Nobel-winning economist who's wrong about everything and has been wrong about everything for about 30 years now at the New York Times. He's delving into climate change today, advocating that Democrats start politicizing the weather. And, his basic theme is, well, you have to politicize the weather to make climate change a bigger issue in next year's election. And what he doesn't understand is the Democrats have been politicizing climate change, blaming every weather event on climate change, whether it's too hot or too cold or too many hurricanes or not enough hurricanes. It's always because of climate change. They've been doing that for 30 years. It hadn't really helped. So I whatever. It's Paul Krugman, and I just like to make fun of him. So it's a good piece.
I'm glad you specified weather and climate change are the same thing, because that's what I'm sitting there going like, aren't they the same thing? So what? Is he wanting now all the pretty weather ladies to start politicizing it on the 10 o'clock news at night, or what?
They do that. I mean, about 3 years ago, remember, you would see the weather map, and if the temperature was moderate, it'd be colored in green, right?
Right.
They'll say it's 80 degrees in May. The map would be green with a spot here or two of orange, you know, indicating it's a little warmer. Now it's all red. It's all bright red. Everything's bright red every day until winter, and then it's all frosty blue.
I saved out somebody's picture on Twitter, and that will be in the show notes, because it is 10 years ago and now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get a sunburn just by looking at the new map. I mean, it's just ridiculous because it's so red.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. It's a shame. I wish it wasn't happening. And the irony is that every time there's a cool front in September and conservatives start talking about, you know, well, hey, is this global warming too? If the heat was global warming, why isn't this global warming or climate change? And then they point fingers and say, well, you're politicizing weather now. Well, now you got Paul Krugman saying, well, this needs to be our strategy for 2024.
Now, is Paul Krugman related to Gutfeld always picks on The View, so isn't he one of The View's brother-in-laws?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, I was just checking.
I don't watch The View. I've never watched an episode.
The only reason I watch The View is when Gutfeld's picking at him.
Okay,
I see the clips on Twitter sometimes.
Oh yeah, no, sometimes I wonder if Fox and ABC have a deal, because I mean they talk about The View so much and all other people. It's like, guys, you know, let's stop talking about them. You know, maybe that might help out.
Why don't we have three podcasters visit The View? What do you think, guys?
Well, that would be a hoot.
I don't know. You know, I will say this, you know, God rest her soul, Barbara Walters was definitely a good journalist, our anchor.
She started that show, yeah.
And you know what I think? Back in the day, Whoopi Goldberg was funny. I will say that.
I like her and Ghost and a few others.
You know, I would like to think, too, you know, one time, a long time ago, I would like to think, hey, man, I could have a beer with Whoopi, you know, just to talk. But nowadays, I don't know, man.
I think that beer would end up over my head in about 5 seconds.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's like, because you should be able to talk to anybody. It's like we always talk about, and I preach, it's like, hey, you should be able to have any kind of conversation. Here we are at the bar, and it's like, you know what? You should be able to sit next to the next guy at your bar, just talk like, man, how was your day? And you know,
one of the things that I did, I want to ask you guys' opinion on this, is because there's rumblings that the SPR is going to get hit again, and I'm not kidding, dude.
I'm sure you're right.
And one of the things about the article that I read yesterday on the SPR is that because we've been taking in, taking out, taking in, taking out. The storage domes on the Gulf Coast are deteriorating.
Right. Yeah.
And so
they need to be full.
Yeah. You can't leave them that way. And then they say, oh, in the next 10 years, you know, hey, a round for everybody on the house. And so, you know, he said, on Biden. You know, when you sit back and take a look, David, I don't understand what's going to go on. I think it was $25 when it was the average cost that it was filled in. Lowest it's been in 40 years.
It's 320 million barrels in there now, and it's got a capacity of over 700 now.
Right. What happens if we go to war?
Well, exactly. I mean, and that's the whole point of having a strategic reserve, right? That's why it was created.
Well,
for real national emergencies, and I paid $2.99 for regular the other day. That's not a national emergency. I know the Democrats want to win an election, and that's why they did it last year, and it's why Biden will probably do it again in 2024. But it's a hit to national security in a time when the administration seems to be, little by little, pulling us into a war in Europe. And, you know, you have to have those fuel supplies and keep the supply chains open. I mean, that's, otherwise, we wouldn't have won World War II.
I was listening to Glenn Beck on the way into Fort Worth, and he said, you know, I don't understand how we can do it without the strategic oil reserves, because I haven't seen any tanks with solar panels on them yet and airplanes with windmills. I'm sorry, Glenn Beck. I thought that was just outstanding.
I don't think that would work. Yeah, it would be a really bad model.
Now, RT, didn't they call up 3,000 reservists?
Did they?
Yeah, I think they called them up and they're sending them
last Friday. Yeah,
I did not hear that, but that's funny. Y'all mentioned that, and I think the key word is security. That it's in our energy security, and it's being depleted. And you know, I heard the report. Of course, we're sending those cluster bombs to Ukraine, and I heard now that the true reason is because the ammunition we've been sending them is actually now from our reserves, and they're so low that these cluster bombs that they're going to now use will buy us time to build that back up just to give to Ukraine. I mean, look, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I remember, like, you know, when you had to be prepared for anything, like, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. Now, some people prepare more than others. People got bunkers and things like that. But hey, to have a...
Why do you look at me?
you know, but I mean, you know, hey, to have an extra case of water is not a bad thing, and maybe some extra canned goods.
Right.
I would like to think that my taxes are going towards something like that as well. And right now, all of that is actually going to Ukraine on top of the billions of dollars that the government is sending on top of that.
Yeah.
And so we are truly weakening America right now is what this administration's done abroad and here. I mean, the guys, what about President Biden being over at NATO last week? I mean, didn't even make it to the dinner. walking around like aimlessly.
Did you see him with King Charles?
That was terrible.
Had to lead him around. I'm surprised he didn't have booby pants. And he tried to talk to the guard. Did you see that? He went up and started talking.
He wouldn't leave the poor guard alone.
I think he was mad because he was in his way. Like I think he thought he had to keep going that way, and King Charles is there going, no, go this way, and he walked in front of him, and I think it was more just
how bad it was if you look better than King Charles. That's he made King Charles look good.
He did. It made him look vibrant and youthful.
He did. And King Charles is older, right?
Oh. No, he's 74.
74. No,
yeah,
okay.
But he's like even worse shape than Biden, except at least mentally he's almost cognizant. So, anyway, moving right along.
Back to energy.
Back to energy. Thank you very much. I resemble that remark. Now, what do you see coming around the corner, David, in all of the stuff coming on? I'm seeing a revolt, almost, if you would, in the ESG movement for finance. Do you see, people are starting to kind of waken up.
Yeah.
You have BlackRock that is now selling some of their... Oh, they had pipelines over in Abu Dhabi.
Was it Kazakhstan, right?
Yeah, they just sold them.
Yeah.
And so they're just selling them. You didn't see those on the balance sheet. I'd like to know how they kind of buried that in there, because they were over there going, we're ESG. We happen to have an oil pipeline over here in the Middle East, but...
Yeah, well, it's like Larry Fink, you know, certified to the Texas Comptroller last year. BlackRock hasn't exactly boycotted investing in oil and gas. It's just disadvantaged it. And so, they've got assets in oil and gas-related projects all over the world, really. And But what do they control? $9 trillion in assets or something?
And they only lost $1.7 trillion first half of last year because they were too much in ESG funds. But RT, with that... kind of waking up into the ESG funds, do you think that's going to be easier for E&P operators to get money into CapEx?
Well, I would like to hope so. I know right now, you know, people are still a little worried. You know, the biggest thing I get is like, well, aren't you afraid oil's going away? That is still the big, and it's like, guys, like, and some of these people are very smart. And they don't mean, is it going to go away? They mean, it's a government. Is it going to... It's like, guys, you know, they can't stop it today. I mean, because if they did, I mean, you know, our headsets that we got on today are gone. Who was it? Was it Dr. Tom Singh on LinkedIn? Or no, somebody just did a whole list of everything that we use on a daily basis that's made from a petroleum product. And it's like, you know, like, did y'all see the report that protesters in Germany super glued themselves to the tarmac at, like, local airports? And it's like, super glue.
No, it was cement on one of them.
Okay, it was cement.
And they had to jackhammer
them. Okay, shut up. It was cement. But it's like that. That takes a petroleum product to make, for goodness sakes.
Cement.
It's like you get